Hello, everyone. Welcome to all those watching in on the internet today. I also appreciated the sermonette that would that could replace my part two of the message, even. God has given us the ability to remember. We may remember some happy, some sad times and events. You know, there's game shows like Jeopardy or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. They're just about remembering trivial facts along with some things that are important to remember. We need to remember history so we don't repeat the same mistakes, but some trivial, unimportant things are best forgotten. Memorial Day is Monday. It reminds us of those who died in conflict, fighting for our freedom. And we all have to be very grateful that God did give the victory to America in spite of all the immense cost of human life. God does not want us to go to war, but he does allow it so mankind can learn that's not the right way to live. And it's important that we do remember those who gave their lives for us and for the country. But the truth is, remembrances and memorials, that's not only for Memorial Day. The Bible is full of events to remember. So this afternoon, we'll look at some of the events remembered in Scripture. God remembered his covenant. David remembered his mighty men. He highlighted 37 of them by name. I won't turn there, but in 2 Samuel 23, 1 Chronicles 11, it shows David remembered those men. He didn't forget about them. Well, the title for the message today is Do Not Forget. Do not forget. The first, certainly most important thing we can remember is be sure we remember God. Remember God. How easy it is to forget God. How easy it is to assume when everything is going well. How often do we pray fervently? Most of us pray fervently when things aren't going well, but when things are going well, can we praise him as David did? Can we gratefully praise him and do that with all of our heart? Over in Deuteronomy 8, starting verse 18, Deuteronomy 8, here, God tells the people, be careful after you've eaten, you've enjoyed everything. Don't forget God when everything is comfortable with you. Deuteronomy 8, 18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, and the reason that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Do we remember God? Do we remember God in prayer? Do we remember God in practice? It's not just enough to say the words. You know, Jesus Christ said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Why do you call me that? Why do you say I'm Lord and you don't listen to me? You don't do what I ask you to do. So remembrance is when you remember. Remember what God said. Remember his word. Israel, the children of Israel, they had a tendency to forget God. They had a tendency to push him away. So here's a few examples of some. They're not careful to remember God's instruction. I'll just mention Uzzah. Those that were with him, they were bringing up the ark. They forgot they were to carry it with poles and not put it on a cart. They also did not remember they were not to touch it. Uzzah did touch it. We know, of course, what happened because he disobeyed that instruction. His forgetfulness cost him his life. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, they offered strange fire before the Lord, and God had commanded them not to do that. So Aaron's two sons either did not remember or they chose to disobey the command not to offer that strange fire before the Lord. And we know what happened because they disobeyed that instruction. Their forgetfulness cost them their lives. The children of Israel continued to forget God. Over in Jeremiah 2, let's see, verses 31 and 32. Oops, here we go, Jeremiah 2. Here's what he wrote. O generation, see you the word of the Lord? Have I been a wilderness to Israel? A land of darkness? Why then, say my people, we're lords, we'll come no more to you. Can a maid forget her ornaments? Or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. So he said, You see the word of God. Why do my people say, we're lords, we won't come to you anymore? So here's what God says to them. You know, can a virgin forget her ornaments? Can a young, attractive girl forget what's going to make her attractive, a scarf or jewelry or whatever? They don't forget that. He said, can a bride forget her attire? The words here, beads of sash, they could wear that. Signifies they're getting married, but you know, we could say, would a bride forget her wedding dress? How many brides don't pay attention to their wedding and say, well, it doesn't really matter what I wear? No, they go out, they pick them, it's this one, they make sure it fits right. Can a bride forget her attire? So God says, yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Do we remember God? And when we remember him, do we, you know, do what we remember about him? Ezekiel 12:1, I'll just turn over there. Ezekiel 12. Here it says, remember now your creator. Remember your creator in the days of your youth. Before the difficult days come, the years draw near, and you say, I have no pleasure in them. When arthritis hits your knees, you can't do the things you used to do as quickly as you used to do them. You can see where you need to be, but you can't get there like you used to. Do we remember God when we're vigorous and young and jump and praise and sing, do all that? But he says, when the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, the light, the moon, and the stars are not darkened. So you could say, well, I need to get my cataracts fixed so I can see more clearly, get my glasses straightened. And then we can see. Well, remember our Creator. It could be easy to forget him, especially in the good times. Especially when we're not in need. When we're in need, then we can really cry out. But what about the good times? We cry out fervently. Can we pray with the same kind of intensity that we need to? Over in Psalm 105, verses 4 and 5, here's another reminder, Psalm 105. Let's see, verses 4 and 5. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. So remember what he's done. And we can ask ourselves this question. what has he done in our life? Can we think of our blessings? Can we think back and not forget those many benefits God has given us? What blessings do we remember? I don't have in my notes. I'll just mention one time I was going to open a steam valve. I had shut the steam off, but there was a bypass. And had I opened that, it would have hit me in the face. I would have got killed. And I just know God saved my life that day. Do we reflect on those and thank God for what we have and thank God for what he's given us? Do we thank him for the awesome hope that nobody can take from us? So do we remember him? We need to remember his blessings and his benefits to us personally, as well as to the church and all of us. Another area to remember God is with regard to his word and his law. Remember God's word and his law. Malachi 4. Let's see. And verse 4. Malachi 4 and verse 4. It's the last book of the Old Testament. It doesn't tell us, let's forget the law because we're going into the New Testament. But he tells us, we read this, Malachi 4 and verse 4. Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded to you in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Remember them. Don't forget them. Now, you can't earn salvation by law keeping. You know, we know that. It's not, if it's not through Christ, we can't make it. So we don't do it on our own, but Christ has, and he can, and Christ in you can do that. So if we have Christ in us, and God is in our thoughts, and God's overseeing what we're doing in our life, we'll have the strength and power, we'll have the might. God's Holy Spirit is there to give us that help, that power. But he says, remember the law of Moses. Do we remember God's law? For most of us, God's law has been written in our hearts and our minds. You know, we don't have to pull out the Bible. We could say, well, let's see, should I steal or not? This is something I really like. Should I steal? I don't really know. Where can I find it? Well, let me look it up in a concordance. Okay, you shall not steal. Okay, I'll also find it in Deuteronomy 5, Exodus 20. Okay, I shall not steal. The Bible told me I don't have to look it up. See, do we have to look it up? When it comes to law and sin, God has written that law in our heart, so it's natural for us. We see it. We'd say, hey, that's theirs. That's a nice thing, but it's not mine. I don't think, oh, that's a nice thing. How can I connive to get it? See, that's an attitude of the world. It's not an attitude of God. And then God works in us, right? So it's God who works in us both to will, all right, and to do of his good pleasure. It's not you who do it once you're converted. Once we have God's Holy Spirit, see, that's God working in us. So he says, remember it. Exodus 20, I'd like to read through that. Exodus 20, I know these are familiar, but it's good to go read them. Exodus 20, starting in verse 8. Because specifically, he tells us, remember a commandment that helps you know who God is. One of the Ten Commandments, he tells us. And again, this is one of those remembers. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Don't forget it, because it reminds us we weren't made by ourselves. We didn't evolve out of some slime or some Big Bang theory. The Sabbath reveals that we were designed, beautifully, wonderfully by God. Remember him. Remember him on a Sabbath day. And it's highlighted here, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your manservant, maidservant, your cattle, the stranger within your gate. For in 6 days God made or restored the heaven and the earth, the sea, all that's in them, and he rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. See, we remember, and that's right in the middle. And yet, somehow or another, there's some very, we call them excellent biblical surgeons. They go through and somehow they do some surgical cut from verse 7. And they skip down to verse 12. For some reason, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy is overlooked or put away. People say, well, that's Jewish. So that's Jewish. It wasn't Jewish. This was godly. This was God's way. Remember his Sabbath day. Over in Acts 20, verse 35. Acts 20. When we're conversant with the scriptures, we'll remember them. As we study, we go through the Bible and do our Bible study, we'll remember. We'll remember things that were spoken to us that sticks out in our mind. So here's Acts 20 and verse 35. And Paul says this to the Ephesian elders. I have shown you in all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. We heard that in the sermonette about caring for one another. Remember those words. Do we remember those words? What God said? Do we remember what Christ said? We don't always remember them, so we have to keep studying. Go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John regularly. And then through the book of Acts, because that show us how a Christian should act. We can go through the book of Proverbs often, learn how to be wise, study a chapter a day, meditate on it as we read it. That helps us remember. The disciples remembered what Jesus said, but sometimes he said it ahead of time and they didn't remember until it actually happened. Over in John 15:20, I'll just quote that one, John 15:20. We read this, remember the word, remember Jesus Christ said the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they've kept my word, they'll keep your words too. So we remember the words. Not just remember, but live them. Actually, I just added this to my notes earlier. We can listen to God's word, learn God's word, live God's word, and love God's word. When you read a scripture you find helpful, go back to it a few times in prayer. That helps you remember, and remember the inspiration that he gives in those words. And so the disciples, they did remember, and Peter remembered in Matthew 26:75, when Christ told him, before the rooster crowed, he'd deny him three times. So Peter, he went out and he wept bitterly because then he remembered. And they remembered Luke 24, 8 and 9. They didn't understand that right at the time Christ said it, but later they did. Luke 24, Let's see, maybe I'll start in verse 7 here. Christ said, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulcher then and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. So they remembered the scripture when Jesus Christ was cleansing the temple. Here's another one, John 2, 15 through 17. So some of these things will come to mind later, but we've got to know them ahead of time and then remember them. John 2, 15 through 17. When he made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, the sheep, the oxen, poured out the changers' money over through the tables. And he said to those that sold the doves, take these things out of here. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of your house has eaten me up. They remembered. So we need to remember God's word. I'll just mention a few things that the Apostle Peter mentions, things that we should remember. In 2 Peter 1, he says, keep these things always in remembrance. And he gives a list. Over in 2 Peter 3, verse 1, I'll turn over there. 2 Peter, oops, going the wrong way here. 2 Peter 3, 1. He says, keep these things always in remembrance. Verse 1 and 2. This second epistle, beloved, I write to you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. You can make it a point. Turn there later in your personal study. Go through 1 and 2 Peter, and you'll find quite an extensive list of things to remember so that we don't forget God. And then God's instructions from us, from his word as well. We have to remember what's in it. Not only remember what's in it, we need to follow what's in it with God's strength and God's help. Over in John 14, 26, I'll cite that for you. I got two scriptures here, so let me turn there and see what I did. Actually, let's see. Okay, John 14:26, it says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatever I've said to you. And let's see, I've got John 16:4, as long as I'm right there. Okay, John 16:4, it says, these things have I told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said to you not at the beginning because I was with you. Okay. So the Holy Spirit will bring all things to our mind. Well, what? Well, we will remember that same root word, remember. We have to activate God's Holy Spirit. Make sure we're tuning into it so that it can guide us and lead us. You know, we can't feel it, but it guides our mind. It gives our mind. You know, we can't always say, "Well, this thought," because we're saying it is God's Holy Spirit. You can't always say that, But we can see if it's in line with God's word and say God's spirit has led us in God's word. Okay, just a few more things about this. Remember the Passover, the Holy Days, the Feast of Trumpets. You know, I'll just mention this. There's a lot of trumpets. The Day of Trumpets is a memorial of blowing of trumpets. Before Christ comes back, that will include trumpets that introduce plagues and difficulties. But he says those are memorials, something to remember. It's a signal, it's a sign. You remember what's attached to it. As far as the Passover, with the symbols, you know, Christ said, you know, you take these symbols, they're remember me by these things. Do this in remembrance of me. So that's a time we remember him and what he did for us. Okay, so remember God's word and his law in the holy days. So that's the first point. Remember God. Second point, remember the brethren and family. I appreciated the sermon and message here because this is what this is talking about. What about remembering people? We want to remember brethren. We want to remember family. Over in Colossians 1 through 10, I'll just mention verse 3 there, but Colossians 1, you can read 1 through 10 later. I do want to read verse 3, though. Colossians 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Always. Verse 9, it says, let me read that one. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So Paul would pray for the brethren without ceasing. So we have to remember, pray for brethren. Think about the brethren over in Haiti with that violence, that gang crime over there. Those people are held in fear, prisoners by the fear of danger, even going out their door because of that violence. Some aren't even safe in their own homes, and then the government seems powerless to stop or control those vicious gangs. Many brethren in other countries, they have very little of this world's goods. We in America, we can forget the hardship that other brethren face. You know, if we don't make it a point to remember and pray for their needs and that they can be safe as well. You know, we have God's example of remembering his people. God remembered Hannah. I'll just read a couple verses there in 1 Samuel 1. Let's see, 1 Samuel 1. In verse 2, we read Hannah didn't have any children. In verse 11, she asked God to look on her affliction and remember her and not forget her. So then in verse 19, 1 Samuel 1, 19, let's see. I'll just read the last part of that verse. It says, the Lord remembered her. And she had a son. Later in 1 Samuel 2, we find God blessed her with three more sons and two daughters. So God remembered her when she asked. Another example of God remembering is that he made a promise to Abraham. This is the time when the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. Over in Exodus 2, Exodus 2 and verse 24. Here it says, God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So there, God makes it a point to point out that he remembers things too. Hebrews 13:7, it reminds us to remember the ministry. Hebrews 13:7, it says, remember those who have rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Now, he doesn't give the ministry carte blanche. You don't follow them if they go astray. You don't follow them if they go the wrong way. And you don't follow them when it would be obvious that they're going wrong. But he said, remember them, pray for them. Pray for the ministry all over the world. In some countries, ministers have to be very careful how they teach God's word. They do teach the truth, of course, but they have to be careful how they do it. So pray for them, pray for God to inspire them, pray for God to help them love the people, pray for them that they're be inspired to bring a message and have wisdom to counsel, faith to anoint. And then pray that they be protected for protection, safety, inspiration. So I said, remember those who have the rule over you. It's not that they like to rule over you, but there's a responsibility for you. So remember them. So that second point, remember family and brethren. The third point, we want to remember not only our personal family, but also our fellow man. We know the entire world has been deceived by Satan and needs to be delivered from the slavery of sin. God reminded the children of Israel they needed to remember they were slaves and captives in Egypt. So they were to remember the strangers and that they needed to be treated kindly and not put them in bondage. Over in Romans 8, 5 through 8, let's just read that one too. Romans 8. It shows people have a carnal nature, and they still need our prayers, and that God's kingdom will come, they can learn God's way, and then be delivered from their captivity of sin. So we want to remember to pray for our fellow man as well as family members who may or may not be in the church at this time. Romans 8, 5 through 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So we have to pray for others as well. In Galatians 2 and verse 10, Galatians 2, and we'll read verse 10. The Apostle Paul wrote this. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. And you did when you distributed those goods, farmers to families, you were remembering the poor. You remember the people who needed some help, and so you served them. So he tells us, remember the poor, those who don't have enough. You know, the church has an emergency fund to help people. We can think of people in the world and care about the poor. Do we pray for them and help them when we can? So it's not enough just to say, oh, I remember there's some poor people. So, but what do we do about it? What do we do about it? Do we say, be warmed and filled, goodbye? See, again, remembering means we need to do. Here's a specific group, Hebrews 13 and verse 3. Hebrews 13 and verse 3. Here's a group to remember. Hebrews 13, 3. Remember those that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Remember people in chains. We have to remember and pray for the people that are in prison. Now, that certainly includes some brethren. We don't want to forget the others either. But it's like you're chained with them. If they're mistreated and they're part of the body of Christ, some of them have been converted, they're baptized, they're still in prison. You know, pray for them, think about them. There's prisoners who are serving God. I heard it mentioned there's thousands of prisoners that are on file on the Beyond Today magazine. Some have been baptized in prison. So prisoners are somebody we should remember. Pray for them. You might remember some brethren that are in prison over in the Philippines. They've been there chained for years. It goes back a long time. Jed Tsai and Jing Zhang, her brother, our brethren over there, they've been in prison for many, many years. They were falsely accused of drug dealing. And so we can pray that, you know, if they are truly innocent, which we believe they are, that God will make a way for them to finally be set free. You know, over in those areas, they lock you up. They just forget about you, forget you even exist. So we can pray they aren't forgotten. And reports are, they really are sterling examples of caring and serving over there. The prison has made them... They give them free rein over the facility. They're trusted. And her brother, as I recall, both of them, they're looked up to for all types of things. So they created a good atmosphere there, but they're still there. She has a daughter she can't be with, maybe not even allowed to see. Wouldn't that be wonderful, wonderful for her to finally be able to be noticed and get out? So we could pray God would give her favor in the eyes of the court. You know, so pray for them. Pray for the poor. The entire world needs our prayers for God to deliver everyone from Satan's deception and this slavery and bondage of sin. We absolutely need to remember to pray often for God's kingdom to come and for the sake of every person on this earth. What about other people out that are there? There's a warning to remember. Jesus Christ said, remember Lot's wife. Remember her. Well, why do we want to remember her? Well, what did she do? She turned back. She turned aside. She turned back from her devotion and commitment to God. And then when she turned back, of course, that's not good. So God wants us to remember, keep on going. Don't give up. Don't quit. Remember Lot's wife. That's a warning to us. Over in Revelation 2 and verse 5, there's another reminder and a warning. I'll just, Revelation 2 a message to one of the churches. Let's see here. Here, this is recorded for us. Remember, therefore, from where you're fallen, and repent, do the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your candlestick out of its place unless you repent. Well, people, some have left their first love. God can say, well, you used to really love me. You used to love this way of life, but now you're drifting. Remember from where you're fallen. When we remember something about the past, you can't make it right, but you can change it in the present and the future. It says, therefore, from where you're fallen, remember this, repent, do the first works, or else I'll come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. See, if you don't repent, I'll remove your lampstand. You won't be in the church anymore. So when we remember things that happened to us, we can change that. We don't have to stay in that state. You know, he told them change. Over in Ezekiel 20 and verse 43, there's an example of Israel coming back, and this is what they say in their repentance. Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20, verse 43. Here God says, and there shall you remember your ways and all your doings, wherein you have been defiled, and you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. So the point there, remember, look back, check ourselves regularly, daily. Ask where we are. What did I do? How did I do that? How did I do right? How did I do wrong? Repent to the wrong. Be grateful for the right that God gave you the strength to do. See, but again, the key, remember. In order to repent, you have to remember. You know, baptism, that's for sins that are past. We can't repent for the future. You can't say, well, God, I'm going to repent for what I might do tomorrow. See, no, you can't do that. Repentance involves remembering the past, okay? Here's another remembrance, that's a memorial of Matthew 26, verse 13. Let's see here. Matthew 26, verse 13. Christ says this. He said, assuredly, this is the case of the anointing at Bethany by Mary. You know, Jesus loved three great friends, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. So here we find Mary having this costly, fragrant oil. You know, some feel it might have been a year's salary to get that special oil. So what did he say? Verse 13, surely I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached to the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. So we'll remember that this lady thought about Jesus Christ enough to go against all the social mores, the concerns, because women didn't react with men. Certainly they wouldn't go up to them and put oil on their bodies and their feet. You know, they wouldn't do that, but she did. And, excuse me, and Jesus said, she's prepared me for my death. So we want to remember those who step out and do the right thing, step out and follow God and his way and his leading. You know, we could all do a study of the words remember, remembered, mindful, remembrance, memorial. And then we can be become enlightened by those scriptures. Some of them, you'll see, they had to do with sacrifices. Remember why this was done. You want to react to and look at the ones that people do well and see how they remembered. So we have several important events and topics to remember. Deuteronomy 32:7, we'll start bringing this to a close here. Deuteronomy 32, this talks about history. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 7. Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of a good courage, for you must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you'll cause them to inherit it." Let's see. All right. He says, you know, ask your fathers. Learn about the history. Don't repeat those same mistakes. But we also have to remember, history is about the past. It's what we can learn from and then bring into the present, the lessons that we've learned. You know, the Apostle Paul said, we can't allow ourselves to get stuck in the past. And how many people are psychologically stuck in the past? They keep going back to that. They can't get through it until they finally talk about it, talk through it, and say, okay, let's deal with it. Do we feel comfortable now that we've dealt with something, or you know, are we still stuck in the past? Some people are still stuck there. And why? Because they refuse to let it go, refuse to forgive. They can't somehow see their way clear to let it go. Well, we don't want to get stuck, especially on negatives from our past. A lot of people do like to dwell on the negatives. I'll never forget that. We may not forget some past issues. You know, it's still there. Traumatic events will still always be there. You won't get rid of them, but you learn to deal with them. 1 John 1:9. This might be the most helpful and encouraging scripture we could turn to for help in dealing with the past. 1 John 1 and verse 9. There we go. 1 John 1 verse 9. Here it is. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can let go of any past guilt. We don't have to remember that. We have God's permission to let it go and move on. God is faithful to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He puts those past sins as far away from us as east from the west. So God does not remember our sins. Today, God writes his laws in our hearts, and in the future, he'll put his laws in people's hearts, and he will not remember their sins. Over in Hebrews 6, it mentions that this is future, and we pray for these people for when that future time comes. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 16 and 17. Hebrews 10, 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I'll write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Over in Hebrews 8 and verse 10, it says something similar. Hebrews 8 and verse 10. For this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind, write them in their hearts. I'll be to them a God, and they'll be to me a people. Let's read verse 11 and 12. And they'll not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all will know me from the least to the greatest. And I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So how encouraging is that? He means what he says. We have to get those things out, get over that, because the Apostle Paul reminded us that too. He says, forgetting the things that are behind. See, that's the past. That doesn't mean everything. If somebody comes to us with an abuse issue, we don't say, forget it, get over it, you know, just get over it. Well, we don't do that, and we shouldn't do that. It's important for them to talk about it and get it out. But once they get it out and satisfactorily, then they need to let it go. I mean, obviously, if they need protection, get that. But they may never forget the incident, but they can't let it keep them from moving forward. And I should mention here, forgiveness is also something that we can do on our part. God forgives us. He cleanses us from our sins. So we need to have the mind of Christ and then be willing to forgive others as well. That's part of moving forward. So he said, remember, forgetting the things that are behind. That's the past. Reaching forward, that's the future. Reach to those things which are ahead. So he's talking about eternal life and God's glorious kingdom. You know, we most likely all know these scriptures by heart, so I'll just mention them. Matthew 19:17. If you would enter into life, keep the commandments. So people try to say, oh, it's all done away. It's pretty specific. You want eternal life, keep the commandments. Matthew 6:33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So those are basic scriptures to remember as we go forward in our Christian walk. Reaching ahead is future. We forget the things that are behind or past. We reach forward. See, that's moving ahead to the future. We have eternal life. We have it in the kingdom. So we learn the lessons from the past. We press forward to God's glorious kingdom. And we can say, as the thief on the cross said, if you want the scripture, I won't read it. I'll just paraphrase it. Luke 23:42-43, talking to the thief on the cross. The thief said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. We can say the same thing. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus Christ's statement back to him was what I hope that we all can hear. Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. So, may God help us all to remember the good things, do something about it, and also the difficult things, and do something about those as well. I'm sure we all have some spiritual lessons we learned that we never want to forget. But the key is to remember. Remember, because that can help us avoid repeating the mistakes and the sins of the past. Let's remember God and brethren and family and our fellow man. Let's remember them and do not forget.